Hi, I'm Sash Gansel, the director of the new Pixar show at the Blue Umbrella. You are listening to the Pixar podcast.
To infinity and beyond!
So, how long is this going to take?
Squirrel!
You can't rush art.
I never look back, darling. It distracts from the now.
What's the point of going out there? They'll only laugh at me.
Stranger, from the outside.
Greetings.
Hello there, everybody. Welcome again to another episode of the Pixar Podcast. This is episode number 111. Show notes for this episode are available at thepixarpodcast.com/111. I'm your host, Derek Clements. And it's great to be back, everybody, bringing you another episode with behind-the-scenes stories from Pixar Animation Studios. On today's episode, I'm going to play an interview that I did with James Ford Murphy. He is the director and writer and songwriter behind the new Pixar short Lava, which will be playing in front of Inside Out this summer in theaters. I saw Lava, and it's an adorable little film about plate tectonics and Hawaii and romance. And all that will become clear when you actually see the film, but I hope that you have a fun time listening to this interview. Now, during last week's episode where I played for you my interview with Jonas Rivera and Pete Docter, I teased that there would be sort of a special thing to come in this week's episode, and we're actually going to start, before we get to James Ford Murphy, we're going to start with that. So when I was in Pixar recently, I got a chance to go to the Studio Store. Now, this is a place that diehard Pixar fans will certainly know of and speak of in hushed tones, because it's a special place where you can buy Pixar merchandise that you can only buy inside Pixar. And the thing is, Pixar is a closed studio, so you really only have a chance to buy this stuff if you happen to be invited to go to Pixar. So of course, for Pixar fans like myself, it's really one of the highlights of being able to go to Pixar to get a chance inside that store and see what kind of merchandise they're selling. The cool thing is, it's not super expensive stuff, so it's a great place for me to kind of restock my wardrobe a little bit and get more, you know, Pixar-related t-shirts and mugs and water bottles. They have a bunch of stuff there. So while I was inside Pixar and while I was frantically purchasing the things that I wanted to purchase, I spoke with two wonderful people who work at the Studio Store. So I thought I'd play for you that conversation that I had with them to give you a little peek inside this special Pixar gem, the Pixar Studio Store. So also on the show notes for this episode at thepixarpodcast.com/111, I'm going to show you some pictures from the store that I took.
Okay. All right, so we're inside the Studio Store, the Pixar Studio Store. This is for the Pixar podcast, by the way. So you guys work here in the Studio Store, just the Studio Store, or do you work at other parts of Pixar?
Just the store.
Yeah, just the store as well.
Nice. How long have you been working here?
I started in November. So, what is it, 5 months now?
Yes, 5 months for you. And then next month, it will be a year for me.
So what kind of stuff gets sold here in the store?
Oh, well, we have a lot of merchandise. We go from shirts, sweaters, hats, down to toys, memorabilia like posters, artwork, notebooks. So, yeah, we have all kinds of different items for both adults and the kids.
And some of this stuff can be bought at other places?
Sometimes. A couple of things, like plush and Tsum Tsums, can be bought at Disney stores, although we sell it for a little bit cheaper.
But, and same with the DVDs and books as well. Can be sold online or the Disney stores. Okay.
But other stuff...
Yeah, the apparel is all exclusively sold here. Yeah. And the pins, all the pins we have currently are also only Pixar.
The clothes, even like at Disneyland or anything, you couldn't get the clothes there?
Nope.
Yeah, nothing that looks exactly like the Pixar items here. They may have something similar, but it's not Pixar exclusive. Yeah.
That's so cool. So do you guys buy a lot of your wardrobe here as well?
I don't know if you noticed, both of our shirts are Pixar shirts.
Yes.
Yes, we definitely do.
Yeah.
So working in the Studio Store, do you see a lot of how much of the inside scoop do you get on the Pixar films as they're coming out?
It kind of matters if we have, sometimes the employees will come in and they'll talk to us about it, and we'll just kind of interact with them and hear some, like, oh, what they're working on, what's happening. Just the grapevine. Sometimes we have our monthly meetings, so everybody kind of gets informed of, like, oh, here's how this is going. So they try to keep everybody, I think, in the loop, just to let us all know how's it going.
Nice. Do you have to pay? Like, when you do employees pay for lunch at the thing? Is it like a cafe, like a restaurant, or is it?
Yeah, we all pay. It is cheaper than what it would cost outside of here, because they try to make it, you know,
affordable.
Affordable for all employees. But yeah, we all pay for our lunches.
But the cereal is free.
Yes, the cereal is free.
Yep. Very good. What's your favorite thing that you're selling right now at the store?
Oh, I know. Let me think for a second. Okay, hold on.
Or you just describe a couple of things.
Yeah. I have the Joy Sadness Teas. We just start out with materials really soft. Pete Doctor did the drawing, and they're really cute. And then they're Rainbow Unicorn. I just think it's hilarious seeing a unicorn drink coffee.
The T-shirt with the Rainbow Unicorn.
With the Rainbow Unicorn. Yeah, clearly that's...
And you're wearing that right now.
Yeah, I'm wearing it. Yeah, that one's... I also really like... it's new for us, the gray and blue navy sweater near the front. It's just a pullover sweater with the Pixar logo. Super soft, super comfortable. That's one of my favorites. Anytime someone buys it, I'm really excited. I'm like, it's really awesome. Nice.
I was thinking, if I were like a voice actor, like if I were like a celebrity, I would want to come here and like buy stuff. Do you ever have celebrities come buy stuff when they come do voices?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, they come in. Yeah, they enjoy themselves. They get to see all the merchandise, and they get really excited about it, which is always nice.
Yeah.
Everyone wants an exclusive thing, right? Yeah, I want a product that can only get here.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, people definitely, we get that question a lot. What is exclusive to this store? Yeah. What can we only get here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool. Well, anything else to add about the store or your experience working here?
I mean, other than it's just an awesome place in general, just to be here, whether you're in the store, whether, you're in the art department. This is just, to me, the best place ever. I love it.
Yeah, best job ever.
Okay, thank you so much, you guys.
No problem.
All right, well, I hope you enjoyed that peek inside Pixar Studio Store, and I wish all of you an opportunity to go inside someday to buy all the cool stuff that they have there. Now, for the rest of the day's episode, let's get to that interview with James Ford Murphy, the director of Lava. Now, before I get to the interview, I want to play for you a clip of the short film, which consists mostly of a song that James Ford Murphy wrote himself. And so I'm going to play for you some of that song, and then directly into that, you will hear my interview with James Ford Murphy.
I have a dream I hope will come true, that you're here with me and I'm here with you. I wish that the earth, see the sky up above, will send me someone to love.
Derek?
Hello, yes.
How are you? I'm Jim.
I'm Derek, Pixar Podcast.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. So, thank you so much for talking
to
me.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
Yeah. I love the film. I love the film.
You. Excellent. That's perfect. That's what I'd love to hear.
So, it's April 1st, 2015 today. Who has seen what audiences have seen this film so far?
There have been, there's been a lot of film festival audiences from Ottawa, Telluride, Toronto, Hiroshima.
Hiroshima Film Festival? Is that a...
No, it's an animation festival.
Oh, cool.
That's where we actually premiered.
Oh, nice. When was that?
That was in August.
August? So the film's been done for a while then?
It has been. It was pretty much hot off the press in August.
So how long did the film take to make?
It took about a year and a half to make. Okay. But, you know, it probably, we could have done it in under a year if we had all the people when we needed them. But when you're making a short around here, you're at the mercy of the bigger productions. And it took us about a year and a half. Yeah.
Were there any big, it seems like a lot of times these shorts are good playing or sandboxes for figuring out big technical issues or technical problems that you could solve. Did Lava solve any technical issues?
We used a lighting tool called Katana that I think it was super helpful in developing that tool for the hopes of using it on a feature, which is the plan. So that was a big technical hurdle for us to kind of take that on and put it through its paces on a film.
Yeah.
You know, so we did that. A couple of other things that, one of the things that John really got excited about was scale. You know, John had said that scale is something we don't do real well in, you know, 3D, particularly at Pixar. So he was really excited for us to really explore scale.
So what is scale?
Scale is how do you represent scale, and how do you get the scale of a mountain, which our characters are, but have the ability to move the camera around. So, you know, the challenge was putting vegetation and rock textures on our characters that are actually animating, and then moving a camera around. And then, in addition to that, also have effects on your characters that are also set. So a lot of those, you know, those different challenges. And then another thing that we came up with was a way to set dress clouds in, because it's such a part of the character, and other shows have adopted that, and I think they're doing some really cool stuff, even like with the stuff we were doing in our time lapse.
Yeah,
you know, that was actually you're animating clouds and animating effects as an environment.
And most of that animation has to be done, like it's done by animators, it's not automated or things like that.
For the effects?
Well, no, for you, like the things that are on the mountains and the clouds and those. How much of that can be automated?
The only thing that, you know, I guess like the lava is automated to a certain extent, but it takes a great, you know, technical director to give it all the right, you know, components and weight and, you know, all that sense of depth. But a lot of it is just done by hand. Like, you know, the set dressing of the cloud lays was meticulously. We placed each cloud so it looked natural, but it also served the purpose of being a lay.
Okay.
But had the believability that it was, you know, in the atmosphere and the way that clouds would lay. And it's tough because a lot of the times what you're looking at is just representations of polygons that don't look like clouds.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to try it, and then you bake it, you know, so you render it. You see what you have, and you kind of figure out your formula to get there, but... Yeah, everything's pretty much all done by hand, and you know, if you do it right, it shouldn't feel like it was. It just should feel right. Yeah. You know,
that's awesome. I'm interested in how place is the theme in the film, and how like you went to a place and got some ideas for the film. Maybe you can talk about that. But do you have any thoughts about, I don't know, how a place is important for telling this particular story?
Mm-hmm. I'm so inspired by cultures that tell stories about where they live.
Yeah.
And they do it through song, they do it through mythology, and the Hawaiians are amazing at it.
Yeah.
Where so many of their songs is about the land where they live, and they personify the land in a lot of cases as a person. And that's what I was inspired by, and I just thought that was so cool. That I thought it was something that we could really do in animation, like that we could take that inspiration of telling a story through song that personifies a place. Like, you know, I always thought of this as your favorite oldest uncle that is sitting around the campfire on the beach telling you that your favorite story. Please tell me the story of the mountain again and how mom and dad met. You know, like that kind of a creation story.
Yeah.
But not... try to tell one of their mythological, because I wouldn't want to, I don't think I didn't feel we could do it justice. I wanted to do something that was inspired by that, but kind of had a romance element to it. And also by, like, there is a feeling that I get when I step off the plane and I'm in Hawaii, and it's hard to even describe it. Mm. It's a feeling. And I wanted to try to capture that feeling in these characters so that they were recognizable to you as, oh, that reminds me, like, oh, I that reminds me of, but then to then tie that recognition into characters, I just thought it would be really fun, so that after seeing the film, you would want to not only go visit this place, but go meet these people that are the place.
So what is it in the film that you think successfully gets at that feeling?
There are parts throughout, like the opening shot, it was really, really inspired by the sea cliffs of Molokai. That there is a certain look and feel. I think they're some of the tallest sea cliffs in the world. Mm-hmm. And just so cool. And then there's that thing, you'll see it in these National Geographics all the time, where you're coming over a mountainside and it kind of, you reveal a place and you're kind of floating out. It's like soaring over California, you know, that yeah. moment where you go over Tahoe, and I think it's the Golden Gate Bridge, and you just feel like you're floating out of it. And I feel like we captured those, you know, those types of moments. Or if you've ever taken a helicopter ride, yeah. and you know, you've gone up close to a waterfall,
yeah,
you know, just trying to capture all those types of moments and those types of feelings. And also when we did that, we really looked at very specific places, because I didn't want to be vague and say, you know, like a waterfall. Mm-hmm. But it goes like, no, look at this waterfall, and you see how these things. And then we did a variation on that theme, but to be very specific, like Uku, our main character's face, his tone of his rock and the stratification of his rock is very much like Waimea Canyon, mm-hmm. which tends to be probably a little redder and browner than most of the volcanic rock. But it's appealing, and it's happy, and it has that sense of he's in his good place. Yeah. So that when he's, you know, more, you know, on the brink of extinction, it's grayer and it's like Diamond Head or yeah. Molokini or, you know, something like that kind of rock.
Hmm. That's a okay. Music is such a huge part of the film, and you play the ukulele.
I do, yes.
Yeah. Could you just wrap up, just talk about the origins of that song, maybe the first time that you played it, and something about the song.
Sure. So I had an idea to tell a story through song in a short film.
Yeah.
And it came from out of my love of Hawaii, my love of volcanoes, and my love of Israel Kamako Vivoli's version of Over the Rainbow. And when yeah. I heard that version, it so floored me. I never forgot that. And I thought, what if I could write a song that makes me feel the way that song does and feature it in a Pixar short film? So as I was developing the idea, and I wrote the song, so that every single time I pitched, including the time I pitched to John Lasseter, I would sing the entire song. And when it got greenlit, one of the things I pitched that was that it would be sung by traditional Hawaiian singers. So then my next goal was to find just the right Hawaiian singers. And I researched and found two amazing singers, Kwana Torres Kahele and Napua Gregg.
Well, congratulations on the film. It's really great. It's great to meet you.
Thank you so much. Yes, and thanks for coming by.
Yeah.
It's been great.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to the Pixar Podcast. That was an interview with James Ford Murphy, director of the short film Lava. You'll be able to see Lava in its glorious entirety in front of Inside Out, which hits theaters this summer. So that's it for this episode, folks. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be off next week, but in 2 weeks, we'll be back with more behind-the-scenes stories from Pixar Animation Studios. So please come back and listen to that. And share this episode with your friends, with your Pixar-loving companions and cohorts. Since I picked up the podcast again, I've been getting some more listeners and Twitter followers and Facebook followers, and that's very, very exciting. So please spread the word, share this podcast with your friends, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Okay, Squirt here will now give you a rundown of proper exiting technique.
Mom, it's just my ball.
Don't let it happen again.
Yes, well, I'll try to be less careless.
It's got this kind of burning, melty, it's not really a smoky taste. It's a certain, it's kind of like a, you know, it's kind of like this boom sap kind of taste. Don't you think? What would you call that flavor?
Lightning?
Don't look at the light!
I can't help it. It's so beautiful.
My name is Doug. I have just met you, and I love you.
Gone! It's all gone. All of it's gone. Bye-bye. Woo, see ya.
Thank you for listening to the Pixar Podcast.